million to about $6. That gambler sued and won an out-of-court settlement. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this Wednesday edition. That's a Worldview Wednesday edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and today we're going to be talking about healthcare on the program today, and specifically, we're going to be talking about whether or not this is the end of the beginning of the healthcare debate in this country. You may remember that statement, that quote. It's actually from Winston Churchill, who said this: "This is not the end. It is not even the beginning of the end, but it is the end of the beginning." That was the famous quote by Winston Churchill, talking about that this was going to be a long, hard fight that was still in front of us. And I think those words are certainly words that are appropriate and accurately describe where we're at as we're looking at what is taking place in our country today. Those words are also the words that grace the top of an article that has been written by Edward Lee Pitts. He's the Washington correspondent for World Magazine. Edward is going to be with me, or he's known by Lee, actually. Lee will be with me on the radio program here at the bottom of the hour at 1:30. We'll be speaking with him about this article that he wrote. Very interesting article about what is taking place in Washington. In fact, the subtitle of that article says this: "The narrow, highly partisan passage of a massive healthcare overhaul gives life to a movement to repeal and replace the law, but it's a process that would take years." So that's why he refers to this end of the beginning quote, because the efforts now to deal with what is taking place will take literally years in order to materialize. There's other efforts that are underway that we should be familiar with, and we're going to talk about those on the program today as well. During the first portion of the radio program, we're scheduled to be joined by Senator Jim DeMint. Senator DeMint, of course, the Republican senator from South Carolina, right here where we're broadcasting from, and he's going to be joining us to talk about these GOP efforts to repeal and replace this recent bill known affectionately by some as Obamacare. And we're going to be talking about Obamacare, this newly passed health care bill, and what are some of the ramifications of it, and what about the GOP strategy to repeal and replace this particular bill. So the senator should be calling in just a few moments and joining us in order to talk about that issue. And then at 1:30, as I said, we'll switch to Washington correspondent Lee Pitts to get his take on what's taking place there in Washington. The senators and the rest of Congress are actually all on vacation right now. They're on their spring break. And so I was talking with Lee Pitts this morning and said, I knew I felt a little bit better. I knew I felt a little bit richer not having Congress in session, spending all of the country's money at a breakneck speed. And so I couldn't figure out what it was. But then I remembered, hey, all these guys are actually on spring break. And so that's why I felt so good. Let me talk about a couple of the items that are out on the Knowing the Truth website so that I can get these, for lack of a better term, get these out of the way before we go ahead and start these two other discussions, and then I won't have to break in order to mention these things. But first and foremost, I wanted to let you know that we are doing another free pizza day over at Stevie B's Pizza on Woodruff Road. Now, this particular pizza day is for your children. Children 10 and under will receive absolutely free pizza buffet at Stevie B's Pizza on Woodruff Road this Saturday. So if they go into the Stevie B's and they just mention this radio program, they just, the parent or whoever is with them mentions the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast, we will go ahead and secure for you or buy for you a free buffet lunch or dinner for your children. It's actually good all day long on this Saturday. And so you want to take advantage of this. This is just an opportunity. We just want to do something for you, both John over at Stevie B's and us here at Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. Just want to do something to help parents out over the spring break recess that they have. And we thought this would be a great way to do it. So they're going to get a free buffet and free four free game tokens as well. Stevie B's is right over there at 1451 Woodruff Road. If you want more information about this event, you can go to the Knowing the Truth website. And on the Knowing the Truth website, under the current events or the event section of the website, right in the middle of the page, it has a link there that you can click on, and then you can get all of the information about what is upcoming. A couple other things to note out on that page is the CEF, the Child Evangelism Fellowship, their sixth annual golf classic is taking place or going to be taking place in just a couple of months. But the sign up for that is also listed out there on the webpage, the Knowing the Truth webpage. That sign up that's out there, you know, these folks do an excellent job. I think that there are 60 or 70 different child evangelism fellowships, after school programs going on in the Greenville area, the upstate of South Carolina, just reaching out to thousands of children who are in the public school system. We have access there and the availability and the ability to put on a Bible club, after school Bible club through Child Evangelism Fellowship. And because of that, this is this enables us to be able to, you know, just do this great work among children there in this region. And so we really want to help out Child Evangelism Fellowship and the great work that they do. And one way you can do that is by joining in on their golf program, their annual golf classic. I'm not a great golfer, but I'll be there and just to have fun and fellowship together with some of the other folks that are there. And so I'm certainly looking forward to that as well. You can see the information for that out on the website. Also, one more thing that I want to mention here, two more things actually. Welcome to the Reformed Church. That was a broadcast that I did the other day, and it was just an excellent broadcast with Pastor Danny, Hyde, I think was his last name. Let me look it up here. But I mentioned during the program, yeah, Danny Hyde, he's the pastor of a Reformed church, and Danny was with me on the broadcast, and we talked all about, now, what does it look like when you go to a Reformed church? Who are these guys? Well, I mentioned during the program that there was special pricing, and that special pricing was provided by Reformation Heritage Books. Well, I put a link now out on the Knowing the Truth website so that you can click on it and obtain that special pricing of just $7.50 per copy of that book. And so with that in mind, I just want to make sure that you're aware of that. And want to thank the good folks there at Reformation Heritage Books for providing that special pricing. With that, let's go to the phone line. I think we have Senator Jim DeMint on the line. And Senator DeMint, I was in setting up the intro for the broadcast today. I quoted from Winston Churchill, who said that this is not the end, this is not the beginning of the end, but this is the end of the beginning, speaking about what is taking place in healthcare. Do you agree, sir?
I think this is the beginning of a fight that we as Americans need to take all the way through to November. I mean, this bill will ruin our health care system. I think it will bankrupt our country. So those who say we should give up on repealing it are telling us to give up on our country. It's really important that we realize how big this is and how it will affect our lives. Not just health care, but it this is something that adds so much to the debt, so much government control of our lives. I think in a few years we'll look back and say we can't believe we allowed this to happen in America.
Mm. You have been promoting a website for people to sign up and sign their name to this effort to repeal and replace. Why don't you go ahead and give that website and tell people what that's about?
Well, it's one word, repealitpledge.com, repealitpledge.com. And we're just getting folks to sign up to support only candidates who will agree and commit to repealing this bill when they're elected. So congressmen, senators, we need to make sure that that we replace those who voted for it and replace them with people who are committed to repeal it, because most of the big aspects of this bill won't go into effect for 3 or 4 years. We have time to elect a Republican majority this November, and then in 2 years elect a Republican president who will repeal it. So that's what I'm looking for from every candidate, a commitment that we repeal the whole thing, start over with real reforms. Otherwise, we're going to have the government controlling our whole health system. And what these people who passed it don't understand is you can't have health care without doctors. The doctors have been played for fools through this whole process. There's not even any money in this bill to pay doctors to see the patients that we're putting on Medicaid, putting on Medicare and other government programs. They're going to not see these new people who have insurance, so-called insurance, because we're not paying them enough to see these patients. Mm.
There's an article out on, you were just mentioning, obviously, the idea of replacing the people that voted on this. Well, I guess the replacing those people would be the 219 representatives, the Democratic representatives, that voted for this bill. That's who we're specifically talking about?
Right, as well as the Democrats in the Senate who voted for it. We've got a good shot if America continues to stand up and speak out and registers to vote and goes and votes, that we should be able to replace a lot of the Democrats in the House who voted for this thing. Mm. And they voted for it after a very, I think, dishonest and corrupt process that I've never seen in my 11 years in Washington. And I just don't think we can let this stand. And now as companies come out and tell their workers what this is going to mean, these companies are being dragged in front of the people in Washington because they're telling the truth. Mm-hmm. So you know, this is really serious, and it doesn't feel like America when a person can't speak out and not be dragged in front of a bunch of congressmen.
Right. I saw that taking place, that they're going to be calling up some of these businesses to testify, private industries, in front of Congress, you know, for some right. of the things that they said, and that's certainly alarming. There was an article, though, today. It came out through the AP, but it's listed out there on Fox News, and it says that you know, this idea of repeal and replace may be too narrow. The GOP sees risks is the title of it in the push to repeal health care law. It quotes from Senator John Kanye of, how do you say his name? Corn?
John Cornyn on the Republican
Cornyn,
side.
Cornyn, that's right. John Cornyn from Texas. And he is quoted in here as saying that the focus really should be on the misplaced priorities of the administration. So he's got a slightly different kind of expanding it a little bit and making it a little bit more general. What do you think about that?
Well, John has come back and signed the repeal it pledge, and he's one of our Republican leaders. I think what he was saying is that some of the goals in this bill were certainly laudable. I mean, to deal with pre-existing conditions, to lower the cost of health insurance, but the bill didn't accomplish that, and we can't fix this bill. It's built on a foundation of government control, so we have to repeal the whole thing, start over, and institute the real reforms that we've talked about through this whole debate. Mm-hmm. Everyone that knows we need to reform this the wasteful lawsuit system. We need interstate competition. Small businesses need to be able to pool their employees. People need a tax deduction if they have to buy their health insurance outside their workplace. There are things that we are so common sense that they ignored through this process, and there was a reason they ignored it. They don't want the current system to work better. They don't want people to have private health insurance. They want the government to run this thing. So no one should be mistaken into believing that they want our current health care system to work better. They want to replace it with a government system.
Sure, and I guess that the replace the bill, repeal the bill and replace it mantra that's going forth, it could be broadened out certainly to include some of these other areas like the intimidation that is taking place, you know, where the these private companies now being called up to the nation's capital to answer for some remarks that they made about how much this is going to cost them. We are seeing a spirit of intimidation here with private industries. And as the other senator from Texas there was pointing out, there is a sense, I think, among the people of the country that since unemployment is so high and nothing is being done to correct the economy, to work on the economy, all the time is being taken up with spending billions here on health care and these types of things, there is a sense that they've lost their priorities. So we certainly could play off of those things a little bit, do you feel?
Oh, yeah, I think so. And what these companies are telling us is that it's going to cost jobs. And I've heard it locally from restaurants who are saying, we can't hire as many people if we have to pay this fine for health care. They don't know how to deal with it when a lot of their employees are there for 2 or 3 months, and if you have to buy them health insurance or pay a fine, it just creates a scenario, particularly for a lot of small businesses, that makes it disadvantageous to hire people.
Mm-hmm. I was really surprised, somewhat surprised, I guess, at the president's response to what had taken place. You know, it's been a little bit of an in-your-face type of attitude from the president. Bring it on, you know, these types of statements about, you know, there's a large group of people in this country that were not for this this health care. Do you feel that it's unprecedented for the president of the United States now to be taking that type of arrogant attitude when he knows that there are a number of people in this country that were not for this legislation?
I think it's very arrogant. That's a good word. It's condescending. He's been mocking the American people who've been against this bill and those who came out to protest the whole process that was used with all the kickbacks and backroom deals. Americans have a right to protest. In fact, I think they have an obligation mm-hmm. to protest when the federal government goes way outside the bounds of the Constitution and begins to take over areas of our lives that they should not be allowed to. But the president is looking down his nose at the American people, and he said to bring it on. And I hope the American people join me in bringing it on.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Just in closing here, I need to let you go because I know you've got another appointment here in just a few minutes. But speak to the people specifically in the churches. Speak to the Christians across the country. Of course, many, if not most of them, consider themselves to be very conservative and would certainly be against what they see as taking place in the country. But you're a believer. You attend a church right here in Greenville, a Bible-believing church, and have professed faith in Jesus Christ. What would you say to the believers of this country about what is taking place and about, just what we need to do, the people of God, what they need to do in this situation?
Well, the first thing to remember, as you know, Pastor, we when we get anxious and we get worried and we get angry, we need to remember that God's in charge of this.
Amen.
But he has given us a role and a freedom as Americans to take responsibility for our own government. So we can't say that God has put these people in place and we have to yield to what they're saying. In our country, this is a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I would just encourage every Christian not to listen to this idea that you need to keep your values and your beliefs to yourself, because this country was founded on Christian principles of hard work, of personal responsibility, strong families, and that's being replaced now with an oppressive government. And we have every right and responsibility as believers to fight for those things that our forefathers fought for us, mm-hmm. in the country that they left us. So this idea of separation of church and state has been perverted in a terrible sense that has convinced a lot of Christians that they need to stay out of this. But I would encourage everyone in a nonviolent and peaceful and respectful way to let their voices be heard and to show up where their crowds are gathering, to do it in a way that is a good witness to God. But I believe it's our responsibility as believers to stand up for those things that so many have fought and died for. And I honestly believe that this health care bill infringes on our rights as individuals, as people, and we should stand up against it.
Well said. I believe exactly the same. With great privilege comes great responsibility, and certainly God has privileged this nation. We do care about the poor. We do want to help people that are hurting, but we don't want to do it in the manner that has been forced upon us here by this current government. And I totally agree. We have a right and a privilege and even a responsibility to stand up and articulate a different way and to help us go forward in that way. So thank you very much, Senator DeMint, for being with us on the Knowing the Truth radio program today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. I always enjoy it.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Well, that was Senator Jim DeMint, of course, right here from the upstate of South Carolina. He lives right here in the upstate and, of course, has been leading the charge against this health care bill. Really, a lot of the flack that has been dished out by the folks that are supporting this bill have been targeted right there at Senator Obama. You know, they've tried to mock his Waterloo comment. You know, they've tried to say that he's, you know, anti-American and all these charges, you know, that are just ridiculous. He is just saying that, you know, while we want reform, this isn't the right way to go about it. And I totally agree. Senator Jim DeMint is mentioned in this article that was written by Lee Pitts down towards the middle of the article or so. It says this: Senator Jim DeMint, our South Carolina, has already unveiled legislation to repeal the law. A dozen other Republican senators joined DeMint as co-sponsors of the bills on the bill's first day. And then he quotes Senator DeMint as saying, "The fight isn't over yet." And so, you know, immediately they launched a bill, some legislation to repeal this law, because this law is just absolutely terrible for the country. It just spends billions upon billions of dollars. $1 billion, just to give you a little bit of something to get your mind around. It's $1,000 million. And this is almost $1 trillion that is being spent on health care, primarily to ensure people that either could buy the health care for themselves or for some reason don't want to have the health care, or, you know, just don't have health care. In this particular bill, some people that have salaries as high as $88,000 a year will be covered under this government-run and taxpayer-financed insurance programs. So this thing is just a boondoggle of the worst sort. It's just a massive government takeover of 1/6 of the American economy. This is something definitely that we need to get behind and say that this isn't what we want for the America that God has given to us. God has graciously given us this country that was founded upon Christian principles. Many, many Christians involved in the original battles that took place in order to form this country the way that it was. And we as Christians, I believe, need to stand up. There seems to be a movement among some of the Christians, maybe even some in just the reform circles, where I read a lot of those reform blogs and that in some way it's beneath us to get involved in these types of things. You know, they may speak about it in very, very, very broad categories, but they're very reluctant to talk about the issues involved in these things that are taking place, as if somehow it dirties our hands to get involved in politics. Well, let me say this, that God is the God of politics as well. Every single realm of this life that we experience, we should bring the scriptures to bear upon every single aspect of life. And that includes politics. And so we shouldn't do it in a belligerent manner, but we should spend time getting to know what is taking place and then figuring out what the facts are, being able to articulate which side of the argument we're on, and then, you know, trying to winsomely persuade people to that argument. There is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing unchristian about that. It's nothing that we shouldn't consider it beneath us to get involved in these types of things. So I hope with speaking with Senator DeMint today, and then we're going to switch gears here in just a few minutes and talk to Lee Pitts, the Washington correspondent with World Magazine. I hope in these conversations that you're energized as a believer to say that we need to be involved in these types of things and stand up for the truth. We're going to take a very quick commercial break, and when we come back from the break, we should have Lee with us on the line, and we'll go ahead and talk through his article that he wrote in World Magazine. By the way, out on my website, knowingthetruth.org, you can go out there, and on the right-hand column, there's a link there to World Magazine. You get 74% off the cover price. Now, let me tell you, this is a great way to stay informed about all of these issues. We just talked about it being our right and our privilege to be involved in these things and our responsibility. Here's a way for you to do it. Be right back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
How do we understand our time as the final age of history? Paul describes the fulfillment of history as our blessed hope, made real to us through our faith. These Last Days, a Christian View of History, is the theme for the Philadelphia Conference on Reformed Theology. Speakers include Alistair Begg, D.A. Carson, and others. For more information and to register, visit alliancenet.org or call 1-800-488-1888. That's 1-800-488-1888.
Looking for a great way to learn more of God's Word? Do you wonder what the Bible says about specific life issues? Divine Direction is an audio CD with over 300 Bible verses arranged by subject. It was developed to help people find biblical solutions for everyday issues like anger, depression, worry, and more. Divine Direction gives people hope as they learn that God's Word has solutions for all of life's problems. The biblical model for true change is also explained in order to help us have genuine and lasting victory over sinful habits. Divine Direction also includes a section that explains the salvation message and is an excellent tool for witnessing to unsaved loved ones. Let's face it, people are busy. Divine Direction is the perfect way for those who are on the go to learn God's Word and be encouraged with the message of hope. It's available on CD and also as a download for your iPod or computer. To order Divine Direction, simply go to power-ministries.com. That's power-ministries.com.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Words carry immeasurable significance. What would homes, churches, schools, and even the public square be like if we used words with Christian intentionality and eloquence? Crossway has made available The Power of Words and the Wonder of God, which includes essays by John Piper, Paul Tripp, and others, all taken from the messages of the 2008 Desiring God National Conference. The book challenges readers to harness their tongues and appropriately command their silences for the glory of God and the ministry of the gospel.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We spent the first, maybe about 15 minutes of the first half talking with Senator Jim DeMint from the Republican representative right here, or Senator from South Carolina, and talking about what is taking place in healthcare and his efforts to repeal and replace this bill. I want to follow up on this now with an excellent article that was written in this week. week's edition of the World Magazine. By the way, I mentioned just before the break, you can get 74% off the cover price. Just go out to my website at knowingthetruth.org. Right-hand column, you can click on a link on the right-hand column. It'll take you to World Magazine, where they're offering 74% off the cover price. This way, the magazine will be delivered directly to your mailbox at your home. You'll be able to read through these issues and these various stories that they have in here. Just, they have a number of different articles, well written. They do an excellent job heading up the Washington Bureau, and the Washington Bureau chief and also a columnist for World Magazine is Lee Pitts, and Lee is with me by phone right now. Lee, welcome on to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Lee, really enjoyed your article, The End of the Beginning. I thought it was an excellent piece that you wrote about what is taking place and the way that you framed the article, talking about that this is going to be a long fight in order to do something about what has just taken place, with it, which it seems that the majority of Americans want to. They want to do something about this bill that has just passed. They want to repeal it or fix it or do something with it because they're not happy with it. Let me ask you about one specific area here that you mention. You talk about that, while there's efforts underway to repeal this, that this repeal would take a very long period of time to actually repeal this bill. It would, take years maybe in order to do that. So you mentioned in here a couple other efforts that are underway. Let me quote from your article. You say this: "But the new law seems to mark just the beginning of the end, not the beginning of the end of the health care war. Only 7 minutes after Obama signed the health care bill into law, attorneys general from 13 states sued the federal government. They declared that Washington has overreached by forcing citizens for the first time in the nation's history to buy a particular product." Talk to us for a minute about this, these lawsuits that have been brought upon the federal government by these attorneys general, and what specifically they're referring to when they say that the federal government cannot coerce or force a group of people, the American people, to buy a specific product.
Yeah, actually, the number now is up. I think one more state has added on to that lawsuit, and Utah just today announced it's considering challenging some aspects of the healthcare mandate. So look for more states to jump on board in this. It's not just Republican states. I should add Tennessee Democrat Governor Phil Bredesen, although they haven't joined the lawsuit yet, he has expressed concern because they've had similar problems with their TennCare, which is their state version of Medicare, and it's really bankrupt the state. So really what they're getting at is the Tenth Amendment. As you could see in my article, I talked to a gentleman from the Tenth Amendment Center who says that the federal government feels pretty confident that the Supreme Court may uphold their right to do this. However, the hope, and that doesn't give a lot of hope for these states that want to repeal this, and that's just the liberal side's opinion. But the federal government has, since 2005, passed the Real ID Act, which imposed strict federal mandates on driver's licenses, and so far none of the states have refused to comply, and so the law just kind of sits there. So it's one thing to have the law; it's another thing to get states to actually enact the law or comply the law. They keep delaying the enactment of the Real ID Act for the last going on 5 years now because the state just simply won't do it. So
let me make sure that I understand that point, because that's an important point. You're kind of holding up the ID Act as a precedent, showing that if states refuse to participate in what the federal government is mandating, that the tendency has been, or at least the pattern, at least with the ID Act, is that then the federal government doesn't push forward with trying to override those states. Is that what the point is?
Exactly, yes, sir. Now, the Real ID Act, which mandates a federal driver's license, and a lot of states think that's their domain to be able to regulate driver's license issue. Of course, that's not as big of a deal or as expensive or as much a political capital as health care, so it would be interesting to see if the federal government would delay the implementation of health care reform because not enough states are complying, which that would be a bigger a pill for them to swallow than just not implementing the Real ID Driver's License Act.
And also, I would think with the federal ID, just a difference between these two and the health care bill, the difference would be that the federal ID, of course, is loaded with implications for the entire immigration debate. And so I would think that it plays either on immigration or maybe into the national security debate as well as to how that should be handled. So it may be a little bit loaded from that standpoint. Do you agree?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you want to get into the weeds of it, probably correct. As looking at just the general parameters of a federal law that has been passed that states are refusing to obey, that
right.
for the last 5 years they've been able to hold off the government from implementing it, that's, you know, it's a good comparison in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So what do you, the hopes for that, those raising these types of lawsuits against the federal government, it appears in your article here that many feel that those are more likely to slow down or to put the brakes on this health care bill being actually implemented nationwide, that the hopes there are much greater than the hopes of, a full repeal and replace effort.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's a good assessment.
Some of the other things that are taking place, I guess that there's some, I'm trying to look at through some of the other laws here. You said that at the middle of the article, again, you say overhaul advocates have already launched a $5 million ad campaign to promote the new law in 40 congressional districts. And by the way, for our listeners, not only have they launched this $5 million, but the president has taken to the road, too, in this campaign to now tell the country why he felt it was important to shove this bill on the American people. And so he's trying to win hearts and minds in this campaign-style blitz across the country. But it says this, that this blitz took a hit late this week as the nation learned that the top Hill staffers, many of whom who sit on the committees that wrote the bill, are exempt from the new government-run insurance exchanges that it creates. And I think you're right that Americans are kind of shocked to learn this. They may feel that, you know, the senators and the congressmen, they write these bills themselves. But this is talking about the staffers behind the scenes, right? These committee folks that are there that are writing these bills, that these particular people that wrote all this and said this is what's good for the American people, that they've been exempt in the bill from having to have this type of health care.
Exactly. It's kind of ironic, especially with a 2,000-plus page bill that really was made available just 72 hours in its final form before the vote a couple Sundays ago. Expect more little nuggets like that to come out as more and more people dig into this 2,000-page bill. And that particular loophole there is just for the committee staffers, not the main office staffers. So, for example, Senator DeMint, who you just talked to, his regular office staffers would have to comply, but people on the committee wouldn't have to apply. And obviously, where they wrote the health care bill would be on it was in the committee. So a lot of the very experts, you know, the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, and then there's three committees in the House that worked on it, they would be exempt from it. So that's kind of interesting that they wrote themselves out but didn't even write their own colleagues out in the actual personal offices of the senators.
Yeah, that is just unbelievable when we hear stuff like that. And I imagine that as this bill is dissected over the next couple of months, and it's going to take that long because the thing is so massive, but as we see it dissected and then what it actually looks like when it's implemented, that many other aspects like this are going to come to light and the tide's going to turn on this. What do you think about that thought that you bring out, you know, by mentioning this, that the American people weren't thrilled to learn that the staffers had written themselves out? What do you think about that compared then with what you write in the article that President Obama has said that the passage of this bill puts, quote, new wind at our backs because we know it's still possible to do big things in America, unquote. So he's taking this as saying, boy, you know, this was a tremendous passage, and, you know, he's reading almost a mandate into it for him to press forward and do other big things.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of the idea. It's interesting seeing Obama, as you mentioned earlier, go out and promote a bill that's already become law. Usually you're out promoting something that you hope is passed, but he's actually going out promoting something that's already passed and become law, which obviously, leads us to conclude that they still are worried about the public perception of this, and they're trying to change it. And they are getting, I guess, it's amazing how quick things can change, how quick fortunes can change in D.C., just a few months removed from Democrats being declared in trouble after the Scott Brown victory in Massachusetts. Now, all of a sudden, the Democrats are victorious, and the Republicans are on their heels, according to the mainstream media. And, just this time last year, magazines like Time are running cover stories on the death of the Republican Party, and then they come back and win New Jersey and Virginia and Massachusetts, and then now it's back to the Democrats, or happy days are here again for them. So it's just kind of interesting how fast the pendulum switches back and forth here in D.C.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I was thinking about that myself. I think that the pendulum, though, is basically when we hear that the Democrats, like you say, feel somewhat fired up by this thing being passed, I think that one is a little bit different than the other things that we saw take place, because I think that mostly we're hearing that from the mainstream news folks, who, just won't say anything negative about this whatsoever. And I think that they're going to pay a significant price at the ballot box in November. I really do. That I think the groundswell of opposition to something like this is massive. It hasn't fully been gauged, and I think that the Democrats are going to pay a big price. In fact, you put in the article here, you quote from Mark Meckler, who is the co-founder of the Tea Party Patriots, but he says that folks are signing up on the Tea Party Patriots website. New members to this group have been signing up online at a rate of 1,000 an hour since the bill has become law. So it seems like this groundswell known as the Tea Party is certainly gaining some momentum as well. Do you feel that's the case?
Yeah, definitely. And there's no question healthcare will be the signature event of this campaign. Not only is the good news for Democrats the fact that they passed it, if you're a Democrat, the other good news for Democrats is they've got 5 or 6 months to try to sell it to the American people before the elections. If this had passed, say, in August or even September of this coming of this year, that would have been harder for them to maybe win the public relations battle. So there will be a fierce battle on both sides to try to frame that healthcare as either good for you or bad for you. And I think the Republicans are doing a good job of releasing some information. I know that some more information is coming out. For example, there was a study that just came out this week that the healthcare premiums could rise as much as 17% for young adults, which is not obviously a lot of young voters are the ones that put Obama into power. So for them to find out their percentage of healthcare premiums could rise, 17% is probably, which is about $42 a month, $500 a year. That's not something that's going to motivate them to go out and vote Democrat next time. So there's more and more things like that that keep coming out as the bill settles down the law. Corporations are already talking about losses they'll have to incur because of the new taxes in the healthcare bill. Mm-hmm. Caterpillar is paying about $100 million. The John Deere Company, $150 million. AT&T said $1 billion hit because of new taxes. So already these companies, and when they lose money like that, that doesn't mean that it's going to come out of directly out of their CEO's pockets. It's going to come out of their workers' pockets. They'll probably have to downsize, maybe.
Exactly. I think you're right about what you were talking about, the pendulum swinging. I think it's kind of remarkable. If there's one silver lining to everything that's taken place, you think about the fact of what the mood was when this president was elected. Like you said, he felt that he had some sort of a mandate, and that there were articles being run that conservatism is dead and the Republican Party is a thing of the past. And really, in a year's time, the Republican Republicans with little or no power whatsoever in Washington. They could not stop this bill. They didn't have the numbers to do it. They remained, I think, remarkably together on opposing this bill. I think that they did a good job of letting folks know about it, all the way to the point that the president's approval rating was so low, you know, extremely low point in the 40s, the mid-40s at one point here. Actually, I think that the mood is that, you know, there's a lot of incentive. There's a lot of grassroots efforts now. Conservatism seems to be charged up and on fire, ready to go, to steal a term from somewhere else, and fired up and ready to go. And so I think that, you know, all in all, over the past year, from where we were a year ago, I think that they did a pretty good job. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I guess the ultimate decision for that, it will be in November. A lot of, just to be devil's advocate, a lot of people on the other side say that Republicans, you know, missed a chance of maybe influencing this bill and not making it as bad as it is if they had joined in and agreed to amendments or work together by opposing it in bloc, in mass. Mm-hmm. They prevented it from maybe being more of a moderate bill in the long run, which that's just, you know, giving you the other side of the argument. So we'll see it, you know, in November which one of those arguments the voters believe in. Was it good for them to oppose it united and stand for something completely different, or would it have been better for them to join in a little bit at the end and try to tone it down a little bit?
Yeah, that whole work together thing, you know, I think it's losing a lot of the steam. Obviously, the American people would like their government to all play nice there together, but we saw that is not possible. We saw that meeting over there at the Blair House was just a facade. He's really not interested in any input, and when he does, he's just going to throw a bone to the other party, and there's nothing significant here that they were interested in talking about. They had this in their mind, and they were going to shove it through whether the American people wanted it, whether the Republican Party wanted it. It didn't matter. It was going to be put through whether they wanted it or not. And so I think that the argument that, you know, as you wrote, I think, not that long ago, the party of no, I think in some way the American people want the opposition now to be the party of no. They want them to stand up and say enough is enough, and we're not doing this, and we're not going to give the impression for the cameras that we're all playing nice. We are adamantly opposed to what you're doing, and I think that's the message of the new conservatism, that it's not a John McCain type conservatism that I can reach across the aisle and make a deal with the people on the other side. It's a new conservatism that's saying, this is what we're going for, and if you're not interested in that, then we're going to oppose you. And I think that the American people are coming around to that type of an attitude. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I'm really interested in seeing what happens in November, because that really, I guess, put a definite number on what people think about Republicans versus Democrats and their different political philosophies. With the echo chamber of journalists here in D.C., 1,000 journalists writing for hundreds of different publications with, you know, dozens of different viewpoints, it's you can hear people arguing, you know, all kind of outcomes. But I guess the real the outcome will be when the voters decide in November. And I'm really interested in seeing how they're going to come down on this.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lee, thank you very much. You talked about 1,000 reporters there writing. We just had 1 in 1,000. Lee Pitt speaking with us, the Washington bureau chief and columnist for World Magazine. Lee, thanks for taking the time out. Great article. Keep up the good work there at World Magazine. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, and happy Easter.
Okay, you too, my friend. We got Ron on the phone lines now. Sorry, Ron, I had to let our guest go, but I still want to hear your comments about what we've been talking about. What's on your mind today?
That's all right. Sadly, I missed the first part of the show, but a lot of people I talk to are not impressed with the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And a good number of them who know about the Tea Party and are engaged in that aren't impressed with the fact that the Tea Party or the Republicans are appearing to commandeer it. And at the same time, I think we need to realize that the Republican Party is only the one side of the leg of statism. The Democrat Party the Democrat Party is the other side of statism in this country. We don't have time to tear apart what the Republicans have done and what they haven't done.
Yeah.
But the idea of taking this country back, my question is, take it back to what?
Right.
What has been done before? It's, you know, there's, and even if we look at the 9/11 report that neither party talks about, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
Why are the terrorist attacks that happened? Fatwas ordered because of Western occupation of Muslim lands, specifically targeting American soldiers. You never hear that said.
Yeah.
That's their land. That's their oil. We don't have any business commandeering any number of countries that we do. There's problem here
yeah.
that I think until these Republicans start realizing that, well, look at Mitt Romney was put up as a possible presidential candidate. He is nothing more than a Mormon socialist. He did the same thing that Barack Obama did on a national level up there in Massachusetts with the health care.
Let me address a couple of your points, because you've raised three or four of them there, and I'll get too far down the line to address them. I totally agree with you. And in fact, Jim DeMint, who was on, you know, would agree with you about the Republican Party, that it has certainly lost its way. It's certainly, there are many people in the party. One time when I had him on the broadcast, I asked him how many true conservatives were there in the Republican Party. And if I remember his answer correctly, he said he could count them on one hand or something along that line, that there were very, very few that held to the principles. That said, I think that the platform of the Republican Party is much better than the platform of the Democratic Party. I don't think that they are, that we can say they're both the same and there's no difference. For instance, just the one that's extremely important to me is the right to life and the willingness to spend money and to encourage abortions in this country. That's a huge one for me, and I think that that is a marked difference between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, one that we can't overlook and just say,
yeah,
well, it's not important. Secondly, I totally agree with you that these guys, you know, the Republicans were spending money and doing all kinds of stuff that we wouldn't agree with, and, you know, had gotten government involved in a number of areas of our life that we don't feel that they should be in. But that said, I think the Republican Party needs reform. And I think that the Democratic Party needs ousting, and the Republican Party is in desperate need of reform, that we need to elect people that are true conservatives, not rhinos, not Republicans in name only. And if they give the indication that they are, that they, just like the Democrats, need to go. The good news is, I think we're seeing that happen, Ron. I think that we're seeing, you know, across the country that people are rejecting these types of Republicans, and they're saying, you know, that we saw it up there in New York, one of the New York races. We saw it in New Jersey. We're seeing it now with Marco Rubio down in Florida against.
Can I get a word in?
Sure, against Crist. But I'm just saying that the signs are good so far, and I agree that the Republican Party shouldn't be hijacking that Tea Party movement. Go ahead, Ron.
Okay, I'm sure you agree with this. I don't consider a Christian or the name Christian and what it truly embodies being synonymous with being an American, with being a Republican, or with being conservative. That's the first thing. When I say statism, they're two different brands,
mm-hmm.
but they're, you know, so they're not identical, and they're not both, you know, you're mentioning the degree of wickedness, as far as I can tell,
or the degree of
benefit.
You got so, under
one more thing.
Yeah,
one
you got
thing.
Under a minute though, so summarize.
Okay. One more thing. Everyone, Republican Party, Senator DeMint included, has some problems with some of the things that he's done. Now he needs to say, you know what, I was wrong about this. One of them is his book, Why We Whisper. The whole introduction is on a democracy. Part of the reason we have the problem here today is because the American people don't understand this is not a democracy, it's a constitutional republic. It's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then at the same time, there's some other things that he has done that really he needs to say, you know what, I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Supporting Mitt Romney is one of them.
Yeah.
And so you can see my
right,
point.
Right, exactly. I can
they
see
need,
your
They need to say, we messed up, here it is, now we're going to correct it.
Right.
Not act as if though it never happened and say, you see, we were right all along. There's a big difference with that.
Right.
And that's where they're going to lose.
Well,
they're going to lose big time.
Good points, Ron. I have heard him say some of that himself, but I'm not holding anybody up as being perfect. And so, but thank you very much for your comments, Ron. You're absolutely right on many of those points that you made. Okay, well, the first half of the program, we talked to Senator Jim DeMint, and then on the second half of the program, we were speaking with Edward Lee Pitts, the Washington Bureau Chief and columnist for World Magazine. Again, this was Worldview Wednesday, sponsored by World Magazine, a segment of the Knowing the Truth radio program. Tomorrow, we talk about Edwards. Join us then, right here on Knowing the Truth.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Brady.